blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy, blessed day! O happy, blessed place! O happy, blessed time! O happy, blessed path! O happy, blessed opportunity! In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity. And the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Reminder before we begin that we do record Sunday morning groups and make them available to monthly donors. What should we look at this morning? Jim?
Well, I've had kind of a big week.
A big week?
Yeah. Starting Tuesday. Three things. I can remember two of them in this moment. The other one will come to me. I talked Thursday night about being the person who edits everything.
Yes.
That editor, someone closely associated with the editor, will get kind of growly about it. And it was just a lot. And after a while, for her, it just loses all meaning. It becomes just words strung together.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of, it's a pretty dark place to be.
So you're referring to if she's reading something, that the editor will come in and she edits what's being read and gets kind of growly about it.
Yeah.
And so then what is actually being read is not taken in. It's all being edited.
Yeah.
And it gets real dark.
Yeah. Feels like the practice is taken away from me.
Mm.
The blogs, the email classes, the newsletters, all of that.
So the heart doesn't get to take it in, but the editor is taking it in.
And growling about it. So, talking about it Thursday night, just saying it out loud, like so many other times in this room, and it just fell away.
Wow.
And so, much gratitude for that. Second thing is, I was reading something that a Buddhist scholar, I guess, wrote, and he'd been asked just to give a kind of a basic explanation of what Buddhism is, and he was talking about the three jewels, and he was talking about Sangha. Mm-hmm. And he said something, he worded something. You know how sometimes when you hear the same thing in little different words, it just kind of opens it up a little bit. And what he said was, he used the word enlightenment. He said, enlightenment is a group activity. And just kind of, we know that, we say it all the time, just not in quite those words. And it just, for me, was really eye-opening.
Enlightenment is a group activity.
It's a group activity.
Just snatched it out of the hands of us, something separate self needs to do.
You know, and I realize that you must work out your own salvation diligently in this system, in this mind, that has implied by yourself. And it doesn't say that. It doesn't say by yourself. So number three is one of the 10 great prohibitive precepts. Since the first time I took the precepts, which has been a while ago, I never had any intention of keeping it. And I said as much. And Thursday morning, it fell away.
Wow.
So, big week.
Big week. Lots of letting go, it sounds like. And I like what you said about the editor and just, you know, turning around and just shedding the light on it. And it just fell away. Yeah, that wasn't needed anymore. And did you say it was one particular precept or just the...
There's one particular precept.
One particular precept that you just...
Any intention.
Never. That precept's not for me.
Not this particular one. And I will say this, it's been a huge trap. Mm-hmm. It's been a huge struggle.
And yet,
drain in all kinds of ways. Yeah. And Wednesday morning, the time came.
It just wasn't needed anymore.
Yeah.
It could fall away.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that story, and I know I'll just... I don't remember it exactly, but the man that was wearing the sword. William Penn. And, you know, what do I do about the sword? And just wear it as long as you need to.
And wear it as long as you can.
As long as you can. And that's what happened with that precept. And what a kind thing. It's probably, you know.
I resisted it as long as I could.
Right. and resisting, you know, who knows? Resisting may have kept it in place a little bit, you know, longer. But then eventually even that resistance wore away. And it was ready to just be dropped. And I wanted to honor the other one too, but what was the second one then?
Enlightenment.
Oh, enlightenment is a group activity. Yeah. And again, just taking you back into that it's, there is a lot of support available.
Yeah.
And we must work out our own salvation diligently with that support.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not ours to work out with conditioned mind by ourselves, figuring it out. Wow, great, thank you. Penny?
I'm finding the email class assignment really interesting. Actually, there have been two already, but the one about making a poster and what are the things the body tells you that will take care of? The ego tells you that it will take care of the body that don't. And what's been interesting is that when I began, it was difficult because by and large, ego doesn't tell me many things about taking care of the body that don't. You know, I mean, it feels like it really can't get away with saying don't exercise, you know, or eat that awful thing or... And so what I saw though was the first layer that I saw was, but it tells me a lot of things without reference to the body that are not good for the body.
Right.
Yeah. So like for example, stress out over this, you know, or get all upset about this, or and the body actually in the dialogue with the body it told me that it said, you know, when you start getting into one of your rants or one of your victim stories, and don't turn to the recorder and don't turn to the mentor, it said, it's not useful for you and it's not helpful for me. So that was just a very helpful statement from the body's perspective. And, you know, when I get into one of those, it isn't, the body, ego isn't explicitly saying this will be good for the body. But the body was saying it is not good for me. And that was really, that was very helpful to get it. That it doesn't have to be explicitly referencing the body to be hurting the body.
Right. Just that relationship with conditioned mind is hurting the body. And I know it was said in the class that most of us don't have a relationship with the body, but with conditioned mind, that, you know, how that affects the body.
Yeah, and that was sort of the second level of what I saw. So I my poster is more about what does conditioning say to me that is not helpful to the body? Mm-hmm. And but then as I was sitting here, what came up was, oh yes, there are things it says. It doesn't say it's going to be helpful, but it'll say things like, what it does is it encourages me to do things without checking in with the body as to whether the body wants to do them. Right. So for example, well, we're in front of the ice cream store. So obviously, this is the time for an ice cream cone. And so I'm likely to just go in and get an ice cream cone. You know, this may happen twice a year, mm-hmm. but what I saw was, I don't check in with, well, do I actually want that? Because if I want that, fine.
Yeah.
But it's the lack of checking in.
Yeah.
And so where I've been encouraged to look is that kind of habitual, mm-hmm. That kind of automatic behavior, you know? And particularly, actually, habitual behaviors like eating, like brushing my teeth, like doing things that are so habitual that I'm often lost in thought. Mm-hmm. And so, even though I'm doing things that care for the body, mm-hmm. I'm not taking care of the body.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just not being honoring the awareness that's present in the body,
mm-hmm.
and including that in things that directly affect the body.
Right.
You know, it's like having someone stand, how it would feel if two people were over here in the corner discussing what was going to happen with you next and making that decision and not, you know,
that's right.
including you in it at all.
Or if someone, it's like if there were someone feeding you that wasn't paying any attention to you.
Yeah.
You know, just shoving food at them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're just eating it. Yeah. With no care.
No care.
Yeah.
And no say over what's going in.
Yeah.
Just having to take it. Yeah.
Right. So that the body, in a sense, is being nourished. But the process is not a nourishing process.
Not a nourishing process.
So it's just been really, really interesting mm-hmm. and fun to see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one might say, again, in the area of it's process, not content, it's probably the nourishment,
mm-hmm.
that attitude of nourishment that probably is what's the most important thing to bring to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Cameron?
I wanted to report a practice success along the lines of this. Yesterday morning I woke up from a dream that was this being in the dream was living through what every coping mechanism she has is designed to have her avoid.
Oh.
So she was in it.
She was in all of those situations that this person always tries to avoid.
Yeah, it was just one situation, but it was the what of it, the how of it was what she wants to avoid, what she spends her life trying to avoid, the conditioned mm-hmm. part. And so I woke up, and my body was just full of this icky, just really icky feeling, you know. It was still just the residual, just was really thick, and I just kind of dragged myself out of bed, and I was kind of and feeling just that ugliness. And so I decided to take a shower, which is not something I usually do first thing in the morning, but maybe it was that ickiness I was wanting to wash off or something, I don't know, but that was something that was unusual that just sort of spontaneously arose as something to do. So I went in and got ready for my shower, and still feeling that horrible feeling. And before I hopped in the shower, I caught myself in the mirror, and I went, oh, there's that body we're trying to take care of. And I had the most spontaneous, loving response to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're not young anymore. It doesn't look like how you look in the magazines and see bodies, you know. But it didn't matter.
Uh-huh.
I just went, wow. You know, look at you. Look at all you've done and look at all you keep doing. I was just mm-hmm. in love, you know. Mm-hmm. But then I just kind of got in the shower and started, you know, doing that. And all of a sudden, this song came out of me. I started singing this song. Where it came from, I don't know. It was like a religious spiritual song, what do you call those?
A gospel or
gospel, like that. I was shocked. But then the next thing that came, none of this with my pre-thought or anything, was that I started creating the lyrics for that particular spiritual gospel song. The lyrics were the life that doesn't contain that story that was in the dream. Mm-hmm. Because that is really just old. It's not anything that's really current. That karma is there, and if I would allow it, it would be there, but I'm working on doing something different. So that's what came out, these lyrics for this gospel were the new truth. And by the time I got out of the shower and got dressed, I just had a fabulous day, which could have been a horrible day if those residuals just kept knocking around in there and I kept visiting that story and how, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, and the practice success, why I call it a practice success, is that none of it was, it all dropped in. Yeah. I just was so grateful afterwards, because I think it's because that's what our practice is these days. It's not focusing on the story, it's on where we want to be, and all of that just kind of arose out of
It's a great, it just sounds like a great demonstration of what the body makes possible for us.
Absolutely, yeah. And the new relationship with it. And I'm going to sit down because I tried to record what I had sung in the shower later on. I couldn't, it was not quite as good, so I'm going to sit down and I'd forgotten all the words and stuff. You know, I couldn't even remember the tune at first, but I got that back. And I'm going to sit down and write the new song.
And get it on your recorder.
That's why I want to write it. And I can, you know, I can, if I sit and do it, I can actually get it to rhyme and be like, you know, a song that I could actually remember and just kind of sing it throughout the day.
And as you said, maybe not even the song, but just that focus of attention on the life that is possible, that's in direct opposition to the karmic story that
yeah.
I've been acting out. So just see, you know, and how wonderful it came, you know, how nice that it came out in song and, you know, all of that. But it sounds like you just got a real feeling for what that possibility is.
Yeah, that's the old lie, and that's the old thing we had to be concerned about, and this is the new truth.
Yeah.
And this is where we are now, and this is where we want to focus.
Yeah.
And not, that just living through that just is enough to, there was the whole thing, and I was going through this life in that karmic story, and it was fun.
It'll be really fun to see what other new tunes want to pop out.
Yeah, and hopefully there'll be some new dreams. I'll wake up and I'll be like, you know, woohoo!
Wow, the wisdom of life and the body and just being present and have all of that just arise and step into it.
Yeah, and that miraculous thing of turning around and seeing my body in the mirror and feeling in love with it. It was just like,
what a gift.
Oh, man, yeah. And in awe of, you know, everything that it has enabled me to experience this many years. Mm-hmm. And that it's still, you know, all the new aches and pains are there, but still I have an ability to do, you know, to walk and to, so much.
Yeah. So many gifts available for her. Through this form.
To continue to be receiving life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Brian.
I've been enjoying sort of the falling away experience recently and trying to look at what's going on for me there. So one of the more recent examples of that is flossing. Because I mounted, I would say, a 28-year campaign of resistance to flossing. Well, probably around 25. I don't remember when I got to. It was just right at the top of my list of things I never wanted to have any involvement in. And just really from the experience of being little and people telling me I need to floss and then trying to make me floss. That is probably my biggest karma sort of area, is anybody trying to make me do anything.
You can't make me do this.
Yeah, just sort of legendary stubbornness. Just having the experience of that's my whole life. This is the truth about flossing, and then something completely different is true now. And just it just transitions in a moment from okay, and then flossing, something I look forward to every day. I'm going to floss. It's going to be great. It's just it's a time that I'm going to set aside to really take care of myself, and and kind of all at once, a whole host of behaviors like that arose. And so I was looking at what is going on there? What is the experience? What leads up to that transition happening? And what it looks like to me, and my language might be a little challenged because I've worked in a different framework when this came through for me, is that there's going along, experiencing life, and there's ego is just anything that arises in the experience, ego's trying to assert its relationship to that. This comes back to me in this way. Well, that comes back to me in that way. So here I am, and I encounter floss, and floss, when it comes into my experience, is just latent then with all of these pointers back to different ego reactions to it over the course of my life.
Kind of goes back to what we were talking about in a way, that just the care of the body. It's nothing, and that has no relationship to care of the body. It only had a relationship to ego and
ego has said.
What ego is invested in, yeah.
Yeah, all of these times during my life. And I think there's a thing that I think is so, that I don't even remember where it came from, which is that you don't really, when you remember something, you don't really remember the thing you remember the last time you remembered it. it's like if you have a computer, right, and you load a file, and then you make some changes and you save it. The next time you load the file, you're not loading the original file. You're loading the file with all the changes that have been made, the accumulation of all of those. And so his ego is just writing those changes every time something gets loaded up. And so then every time it gets loaded up, there's this big log of all the little addendums and whatnot that ego has added to it to make sure that the next time this gets loaded up, I'm coming with it,
And it sounds like, and that you saw there just is no, there's just a looking at the last addendum.
Mm-hmm.
There's no looking at the whole picture. And
there's not even experiencing the memory or experiencing the object, or it's really just experiencing ego.
Mm-hmm.
And so then what has happened for me recently with a number of things is that's going on. So here comes the flaws in my life, and here comes all of ego's comments on the flaws, all of those addendum, and then here comes just sort of, awareness just comes in and takes over the experience, really, so one moment, I'm there with ego, listening to all of ego's opinions about loss and all the ways that I don't like it. And then there's a wholly different experience of all of those addendums just being kind of groomed, which is gone. Right? And then I'm just experiencing loss. And then there's the possibility of going, that would be a nice way to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And then the next time loss comes about, I'm not experiencing loss. I'm sort of loading up the last time I experienced loss, and it doesn't have any of that baggage anymore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so there's a possibility for a completely different experience going forward, because all of that ego-driven baggage that's loaded on all of my experiences, it's just a little reset. So let's experience this instead of ego's commentary on this. And that's really nice.
that's
for my teeth.
That's the one time it's great to have a file crash.
Yeah.
Just gone.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like you're just really present and open to loss.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Yeah.
How can it be used?
What's the actual experience there? Mm-hmm. You know, instead of, you know, the experience of, okay, this isn't so bad, and hey, my teeth feel good, instead of the experience being all of the times as a child that I felt my sovereignty over myself was being invaded by being forced to do this, you know? It's kind of a radically different experience, flossing as an adult who's choosing to do something, taking care of himself, mm-hmm. instead of having that forced upon mm-hmm. a child who has no way of even really having a connection with what it means to take care.
Mm-hmm.
And so just the experience of having that be brought into this space of awareness and having it just be kind of washed away.
The image that just arose is that, you know, a kind grown-up present who's able to take care rather than that child being assaulted with mm-hmm. a lot of information that's harmful, basically, mm-hmm. and no one there to intercede.
Yeah, it creates the possibility for it to be experienced from that grown-up place
yeah.
instead of every encounter being a reliving of that.
Yeah.
That childhood sort of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, very, very grateful, very privileged to have that experience. And, you know, just a bunch of little ways, like Q-tips, are, as far as I can tell, are just the most glorious, like, pinnacle of civilization. It's like $3 for 500. That blows my mind, right? But Q-tips for a good 2.5 decades were right up there with floss as the worst of all possible things. And just getting to experience those things in a new and fresh way without decades of baggage attached
yeah.
to them
yeah.
is just something I'm really grateful for.
Wow. And, yeah, the other thing that just arises is that, you know, what's available to us when we just approach each thing moment by moment, open and new to it. Like, what's it, you know, what's this? What's available instead of, like you said, just running it through all of this story that we've been carrying along forever. Thank you. Jim.
So I've been looking at letting go a lot too, and so many things in the conversation today that people are talking about. I also had an interesting experience with the second emo class, very similar, it sounds like, in the sense of, I haven't done like all the like, okay, I'm going to do this diet and like, or push myself in exercise or that sort of thing. So I really was sitting with it, and that was such an interesting exercise in itself,
mm-hmm.
to just kind of see the, I'm not doing it right, come or like, just think of something so I can check it off the list, you know, kind of thing. But just kind of having the willingness to just have a question mark there and just kind of go around. And again, really seeing some similar things. Well, two things, and it's related to this. I have this very simple but profound sort of teaching drop, and it's nothing new, but I just suddenly saw, wait, you know, if I'm only ever headed here, here, like the present mm-hmm. moment, everything is perfect. Mm-hmm. And what I saw was, I think it was holding that cone of the email class that really made it pop out for me. So it was an evening, and I've been prioritizing a lot of more like cardio kinds of things and in exercise, and in the check-in with the body, one of the things that came up was, let's get back to doing more yoga. Because mm-hmm. for a while I was doing a lot of hip opening yoga, I have very tight hips. That was very relaxing, and I've done somewhat less of that in priority for other things. So I made sure that day that I did the other physical things I wanted to do at different times of the day, so that that evening, you know, there'd be the space to do the yoga. So I was closing up for the evening and doing the things that I needed to do, and then it was like, okay, I'm, you know, great, here we go, it's time to head off for yoga. And then it dropped in, oh wait, there's a few other things that I'm responsible for, little things that I need to do around the monastery. And to watch the beginning of the resistance, mm-hmm. and that I realized I'm headed somewhere. Mm-hmm. Ego's headed somewhere. Mm-hmm. Ego's headed to do, well, yoga. Mm-hmm. And it was such a great teaching, because I really stopped and followed it through. Okay, so we're going to what? To do yoga. Why? Mm-hmm. Well, because it's so relaxing, and it's opening, and it's, you know, here, and it's... Okay, so what I'm hearing, basically, it's never said, actually, but this is the implication. Hurry up and get stressed and irritated and resistant to rush through these things that actually are part of the, I mean, part of the activity is potentially very inviting to be in the present moment, mm-hmm. but rush through it so that I can get home and do yoga. And just seeing, that's ludicrous. That's crazy. And I just really saw, wow, maybe I'll do yoga and maybe I won't. Yeah. But I'm not headed anywhere ever. Wow. But here. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what's here. Yeah. Because if I'm headed here, everything's perfect. And then the extra layer of that was, wow, it's so kind and compassionate, the light of life, to constantly, quote, interrupt us. Mm-hmm. You know, so like another one was, yeah. I was going to do something. Oh, this, see, it's so perfect. The content is so perfect. I've really been enjoying breathing into the hara. You know, or actually I should say, I keep having that intention and it keeps not happening mysteriously. So I was like, okay, I have a few minutes in the middle of the day, I'm just going to sit down and do that. So as I'm walking to do that, Sadie poops, right? So I'm like, oh, I got to go get the shovel, and I got to, you know. So that same thing, I'm like, what am I doing? Without realizing it, ego always pushes to, okay, well, you're going to go breathe into hara? Good, let's make that into an activity.
Yeah.
And we're going to head there. We're going to head, like, I don't know how else to say it, we're going to get there, we're going to move there. Mm-hmm. Whereas the only reason I'm doing that is to practice being here. Mm-hmm. And walking to go get the shovel is a perfectly good thing to be doing. It's just as good as sitting down and breathing into the hara. You know?
It brings me to, was it Sherry just talking recently about everything we ever wanted we can get by sitting and facing the blank wall? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
It is, and it's the process.
It's the process.
That's the thing. It's like, oh, okay, then I'm going to go and sit and face that blank wall. Darn, I got to answer that email first, yeah. And I got to, you know, make the hot food, and I got to, God, I really want to sit in front of that white wall, darn it, because I want to have that experience, Sherry's point again, you know? Yeah. But it's so, facing the blank wall is everything.
It is.
It's whatever we're doing right now.
Yeah, yeah. And I just loved what you said, too, about life and its love for us.
Yeah.
It gives us all of these opportunities to see that.
Yeah.
You know, thank God we're not just allowed to go straight from what, you know, ego says we need to do to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, without all these kind interruptions mm-hmm. that show us what's going on.
That show, every time that's happened lately, I realize, oh my goodness, I'm headed somewhere again.
Yeah.
headed somewhere again.
Yeah.
And for me, it's so helpful because forever I've talked about one of the main processes conditioning uses to cause this person to suffer is, how can I get the most out of it? Okay, I've got this, you know, and it's like tiny to global. Like, okay, I've got 15 minutes. What would be the best thing to do? Mm-hmm. And now it's almost all, quote, spiritual content. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, okay, Sunday afternoon, all right. You know, and it's not going to be like, you know, I don't know, whatever, the, you know, what's the best movie I can watch or whatever. It's all going to be, quote, spiritual, but it's the same process. Yeah. It's that drive yeah. to get something, yeah. to be some, to be an I, to get for yeah. me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like that, but boy, it is.
Yeah.
And so to have that reminder of, you know, there's something about, and it's funny because even if I'm only ever headed here, I mean, that's sort of a trick way to talk about it because we're not headed here, we are here, mm-hmm. right? We're being here. But it's kind of a fun way to turn the karma on its head mm-hmm. in a way because it's, I don't know, there's something just very, very relaxing and satisfying about it because if all I want is to be here, oh my gosh. Everything leads me here.
Yeah.
Everything is perfect. Whatever happens, you can make a plan. Great, make a plan. But knowing that may or may not actually be mm-hmm. what happens. Yeah. And anything that, so, you know, there I am, I'm walking over to the Hermitage to do the mm-hmm, and I encounter such and such. Okay, I guess such and such is here now. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. it's just,
wow.
It's very relaxing.
It is relaxing, and as you said, it just, I mean, there's no room for karma in any of that, but, yeah. you know, it's just relaxing into the next thing that shows up, the next thing that shows up, and bringing it back to the body. I mean,
exactly.
What a gift to the body.
So much.
You know, yeah. to
because that process of like, how can I get the most out of it? It's a very stressful process.
Oh my gosh.
Cortisol, I mean, I kind of feel the cortisol system just, you know, just that like drug coursing through and the whole body just starts to go.
Yeah, because it takes us right to that place that there's a right thing to do mm-hmm. and I can figure it out and, mm-hmm. you know, I've got to tense to get there.
Exactly. Yeah. I've got to move and I got to go yeah. and I got to,
yeah.
yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'll tell you, the most challenging piece of practicing in that way is that it does provide such an enormous expansive space mm-hmm. that what I'm finding is that it's the practicing with expanding the container,
yeah.
like we always talk yeah. about, because something, ego wants to rush in there and attach that. I keep having these moments of just enormous love and bliss mm-hmm. that is available in that just present moment expansion. Mm-hmm. And it's, ego so wants to hook it to that thing or that person or that then, you know, that, oh God, but it's going to change, you know, that mm-hmm. that ultimate form of suffering, like, but life is always changing. Mm-hmm. And the practice, of it's such an amazing, exquisite practice of just tick, unhooking it. Mm-hmm. And just experiencing the process. Mm-hmm. The process of love. Mm-hmm. The process of, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just the, and it's, my God, I mean, the moon lately, the stars, the breezes, the temperature, the flowers, I mean, the opportunities for it are like yeah. everywhere.
And there's the freedom, isn't it? Just being in that process.
Yeah.
And not having to have it dependent on any particular content.
Yeah. And you know, as you say that, Skoy, I think the most fun part about it is that when it gets hooked to something, there can be, in having that teaching of, if we're only ever headed here, everything's perfect, oh, that's perfect too, because I get to practice unhooking it.
Wow. Yes.
So there's no disappointment that it got hooked to something.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Some
yeah.
of that. Yeah.
It's a, yeah. Thank you for giving that to me. That, you know, yeah. thank you for that opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been practicing with the illusion of a separate self, the emphasis on illusion, and looking and watching that and how that illusion gets reinforced and believed and all of that. And so I was struck by the earlier comment about enlightenment is a group, how to go, enlightenment is a group activity or something like that. And I had an old pastor that used to say it this way, that we go to heaven on the group plan.
We go to heaven on the group plan.
We either all go or we don't, any of us go. Uh-huh. And that was so interesting to me. That and not at all how the little kid grew up believing, you know. And so let's see. What do I want to say about that? I'm sorry, I'm kind of blanked.
It'll come.
Maybe you could reflect a little bit.
We all go to heaven on the group plan, and that was not how you, as a child, it sounds like that you had the idea, or I'm projecting, mm-hmm. you know, that it's something, we're all going to heaven on our own mm-hmm. steam, and we got to, you know, do it right to get there.
Yeah.
And this pastor said, we're all going to heaven on the group plan, and if we're all going together.
Yeah. And that is that illusion of the separate person that can do anything, mm-hmm. you know, is really, it's so it's insidious, but it is also, it's sort of about unhooking it, mm-hmm. you know. So every time, you know, this week I was practicing, every time I would feel, you know, off somewhere or separate, just tuning in to, well, what's life vibrating right now? What's life? You know, and it was a variety of things, but it was never what the story was.
Yeah.
You know, it was never that.
Yeah.
And so there was the click, unhook that, and just get with whatever. Maybe it's the birds, maybe it's work, maybe it's whatever, but it wasn't that. Mm-hmm. And it feels like that, you know, in the way that Sherry talks about, that's how we save all sentient beings, that's how we go to heaven on a group mm-hmm. plan, is just that. Just
it's
that.
Unhooking the story.
Yeah.
And seeing what life is offering, and what life, you said life is vibrating.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like, what's the vibration? You know, what's really happening?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that process is it. That's all. That's it. There's no... well, like we just said, there's no, and that will then lead to all of us getting to heaven, or and then that will lead to, you know, all of us being enlightened. Or, no, that's it.
That's it. At that moment, we're all going to heaven on the group plan.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, no going to that. That is even.
We're all in heaven on the group plan.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery to begin to kind of ponder, but that's my experience anyway.
Yeah.
That in that moment, it's all there. It's all it. Yeah. 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 And the second thing that's related to that was dropping in this morning was around how email classes often get taken away from me. Mm-hmm. And it was again similar to what was said about words, just sort of. Just, you know, I'll be reading, there's so many words, you know, there's just so many words, and I'll just be reading along, and I can feel it happening, that I just can't take in the words anymore. Mm-hmm. And this feels really to that illusion that there's that separate self that's formed, you know. But it even uses a song from My Fair Lady of Words, 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 I'm so sick of words, I hear words, you know, so I can even use as Broadway musicals against me. But it's that place let's see what happens. It's like it speeds up and then shuts down. That seems to be that process, to try to go fast, to get through the words, because there's so many words. And then that, in effect, just closes the door.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It's going back to trying to get somewhere, isn't it? Again.
Yeah. And years ago, I discovered that that's why I could not read poetry, because I was trying to go too fast, and it dropped in. No, poetry is to be read slowly. That's just how it is. So it feels to me like that's that same thing is here. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, that's just how it is. It's to be, for this person anyway, is to be savored, not spit, not gulped. Mm-hmm. And I have been practicing that with this email class, because that process always happens where I just end up, okay, you know, and just skimming and then really losing a lot of the substance of the responses. Not the assignment so much, but the responses.
Yeah, the whole process of needing to get somewhere, needing to complete the assignment.
Let me look if that's what's behind it. It's to get through it. It doesn't feel like the goal is to get through it. I've kind of given up on that a long time because there's so many of that. But it was more like anything, sort of like a panning for gold almost, you know? And that process, there's a someone who's looking for a something.
Yeah.
And not finding it, of course, because that's the whole process is designed not to find it. Close the door. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So someone's going, just kind of sifting through, looking for
a nugget.
A nugget.
Yeah.
But of course, she doesn't find it, because then that identity wouldn't exist anymore
exactly.
If she found it.
That's it.
Yeah. So
that's
she's the sifter.
Yeah. And so when I feel that happening, what I've been practicing with is just, again, just going slow and not scooping it all up, sort of, you know, going slow and seeing what it feels like to just be with the words instead of that other process.
Practicing what it feels like to just be with the words.
Yeah. And that is what's dropping in right now, is that's the process, that's in that, let's see, in doing that, that's the process of rejoining the group plan. Mm-hmm. Because I'm just with the words, which in a way represent all of Sangha. That is being said, and so I'm no longer separate from that, kind of working with it in whatever way that I would do, but rather dissolving that and just coming back and being with, in the same way we do in group, you know, I project anyway. There's just a being with that we all sort of, this dance, a collective dance that we do.
So that. That just being able to be with each word brings you back more to that experience of the collective, as you referred to earlier, you know, all getting to heaven together.
Mm-hmm.
And something came up about that, but it's gone.
Mm-hmm. A lot of that going around.
Yeah, we'll see if it comes back again. But, maybe it'll arise later with someone else's share. But, so just practicing new behaviors with the email class and being open to the richness that's there, rather than the dissatisfaction that sounds like was coming and project with that other process.
Yeah, and one last point. I know, no one could convince me that there's not a direct connection between slowing down my eating and that commitment, and slowing down my reading, that commitment.
That arose too, is that, that description of the shoveling
shoveling the words, shoveling the food. It's that same sort of process where that being doesn't get the enjoyment of either thing.
Good to see. Thank you.
Justin?
Just on that, real quick, because I noticed that too with the email class responses. And, you know, a tendency to go too fast and not really take it in, or not take it in as much as I want to. And the last class, I recorded all of them. You know,
of the assignments?
I did record. I always record all the assignments, but the last time I recorded, whenever I did the response, I didn't record all the responses, of course, but whenever I recorded the responses, whenever I read the responses, I also recorded them, because it would slow me down and I felt like it would really kind of take it in, and that was helpful. And then this time, I've done that some, and I tried reading them without recording them, but going slow, and it was fun, because it was fun to, it was fun to just experiment, and instead of just kind of like having a rule, now we record them all, and that's how we get past this problem. It's better. It feels better to stay alive with it and be experimenting with it. I guess that's really what I'm looking at. So anyway, it's been interesting so far.
So just kind of playing with different ways to be with the email class and not getting into that same place of making it a rule about it has to be a certain, this is going to work if I read them all or, you know, I'm recording them all, but to just be open and see what seems appropriate in the moment to...
Yeah.
With the focus, it sounds like being on actually enjoying and taking in the class.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm with it, it's almost guaranteed disidentification thing, you know, and because there's just a lot of compassion in the responses, and I project a lot of sincerity and openness and stuff in the things that are submitted. And so really receiving from that. And also, I mean, it's just kind of in the way that it's just a moment ago how that one thing was kind of broadened out. In general, it's been becoming clear that there's kind of a basic process that goes on where there's the thing that needs to be done. Like I was looking at it around drinking water, that's not a good example, but just various things. So not doing what needs to be done and then figuring out a way to do it that works for me.
You mean the I or the...
Yeah, it's hard to... The email class thing isn't such a good example either, but I mean, it's subtle, but it is the thing. It's like, well, what needs to be done is to be really present with these responses and read them slow enough so that they really come in. And then there was a suggestion in group last time, we'll record them. I was like, that's a great idea. And I did that and it really worked, but now it's not about doing the thing that needs to be done. It's about, I've got a workaround. Basically, that there it is. So I've seen there's workarounds all over the place that I'm putting in instead of just doing what needs to be done.
Workarounds. That's a great term. So, I mean, if I'm understanding what you say, it's all just a practice to coming back to flossing your teeth. I mean, to just being present with that thing in front of you, and to not get hooked into a workaround, not get hooked into a plan, but to just be there.
Yeah, kind of stay alive with it.
Stay alive with it rather than
being a, like something that's like a technique. I mean, there's nothing wrong with techniques either. Like with the water, you know, it's really handy. I've got this huge mug and I, put a bunch of water in and I put it right there. And that's helpful. You know, it helps to have it there instead of to have to go get water every time it occurs, a little bit of water. But still, there has to be the awareness. I guess it's the awareness. It has to be the awareness that it's important to drink water and to have that be there. Otherwise, it's just like this mechanical thing that's not really. It's not really an aspect of presence. It's more like a piece of machinery.
Yeah, that's key. I think the aspect of awareness there, or whether it's an intention or a commitment, you know, you can set it up to make it, to really support the being as much as you can, but it's still possible to have a big jug of water, I know, have a big jug of water there and just not see it, you know. Till the end of the day and go, oh my God. So there's something else at play there, like you said, you know, to just have the awareness of it and, you know.
Yeah, the flossing is a good example too, or anything like that. It's, I'm not doing it because I want to not do it because I should. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I have a particular time when I do it, and that's helpful. Mm-hmm. But, I, you know, I don't want to do it because I should, because then it's just like I don't want to be there doing it, but as an expression of love for the body. Exactly. You know, then, you know, it's just, it's like where it's coming from instead of what the thing is.
Yeah, where it's coming from.
I've been saying a lot about all sorts of funny egocentric stuff that goes on around the diligently in working out our own salvation diligently.
Oh, okay.
How there's a conditioned egocentric diligently that's just being seen through with particular momentum at the moment. And just seeing how there's the egocentric our own in working out our own salvation diligently and the egocentric diligently in working out our own salvation diligently and how those two come into being together.
Mm-hmm.
So when there's the egocentric diligently, there's a sense of working out salvation on my own. Mm-hmm. And then when there's the on my own, there's this diligently happening. And so as there's the letting go of one, there's the falling away of the other and that happening. Mm-hmm. In that very connected way.
So really diligently looking at diligently.
Yes. Right. Right. And I just had a very, it's like the spirit of inquiry around what is this diligently? Because there's just so much conditioning around what diligently mm-hmm. is and what it feels like and what it's like in the mind when there's diligence and what... Yeah, it just a whole load of illusion and delusion around what diligence is. And I had a very clear workshop in it in group on Thursday when I was talking about resolve to be here no matter what and not have the not follow the egocentric diligence of obsessively recording insights and pursuing mm-hmm. insights and trying to recall insights, that kind of diligence. And there was awareness as I was talking that it didn't sound like there was any resolve in the voice. And there's an awareness of, oh, this is what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed and what got revealed even more by what was talked about later on was that attention was diligently checking in with what was that insight and how can we report it and you know checking in with how am I doing, checking mm-hmm. in with the illusion of a separate self with all of that. Well, it was more like oh no, or you know that kind of that egocentric diligence that's like I mean, the way I can best describe how this experience is becoming clearer and clearer is that if you drew what attention's doing, it's like it would be like branching and forking off, like going to, well, it was that, no, it was more, or maybe, and it would be very... it would look like like lightning, with like forked lightning, or like cracking ice, you know, when it forks and branches. And that's what the conditioned diligence is like. Mm-hmm. And
so the conditioned diligence is like that kind of fractured or... Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the breaking ice or the lightning, or you see a tension just being fractured off.
in many different ways, and that's the conditioned diligence.
Yeah, like a refining. I mean, I have this experience too, like of being in the academic world, where you could draw out what attention's doing in that little thought process, and it's all branching and splintering and fracturing. And then in the academic world, there's just like a practice of that, where one person, you know, writes a book or says something, and then another person comes along and says, oh no, it was more like that. Then another person says, well, yeah, but that. And so it's like that thought process, but like made into a kind of science or a practice, where each person is one little point in that that branching, and so then another book has to be written, and another book, and all of that is the part that I experience a lot of like resistance to, and I'm always kind of in situations where people are telling me to do more of that, and I say, but that's not what it's about. And the conditioned diligence, as I experience it, is exactly that. So it's just like that, you know, big mirror. And
yeah, that's perfect. I mean, of course, the conditioned world is going to mirror the conditioned diligence,
of course,
as you see in academics, and also reminds me of what we see in a lot of different and religion too.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's that same sort of process that goes on.
Yeah, and just seeing that the experience of diligence that is opening up as that falls away is like a diligent responding to what drops in. That I'm just seeing that when things have been dropping in, they've been dropping into a self container, and because they've been dropping into a self container, it's almost like on the way down, before they've even landed, they get self-ized, and so when they land, it's already personalized into, well, that's not a good idea, or you should have already done that, or starting that negotiation of, well, maybe we could do it there or then, or, and it's already in a diligence that's an ego diligence. And I've just been having an experience of things dropping in, not into that bed of self, but just dropping into a place of like welcoming and thank you, and what I guess would be conscious, compassionate awareness, dropping into a place of just appreciation for what drops in, rather than it dropping in a way that it's already owned, so it's already criticized and judged. It's dropping in to a place where there can be a diligent responding an experience of freedom and ease, and just a diligent yes. That's the next thing to do.
A diligent yes, and did you say like just a diligent single pointed focus on it? And
yeah, right. Without getting into that fractured negotiating that's all branching off, and that's such a, you know, that requires so much energy.
The fracturing and the attention going in all those different directions, and having a different experience of it, maybe falling into conscious compassion and awareness, and what that's like to just have the attention there and just focused on that without having it fractured into many different areas.
And as you're saying that, and as I'm seeing your hand move, it's like just such a stillness to that diligence. It's like just that focus, resolve, here, now, this, that feels very strong in the body. I can,
it's just what we were talking about earlier, isn't it? You know, just meeting everything that's presented itself now and here.
Yeah, yeah, and just what a joy it is to live diligently like that. And it's just so exciting. Thank you.
Thank you.